Okay. First of all, thank you, everybody. Great turnout. The first thanks goes to Chaim Milgram for being the impetus to make a shiur, to do this. So we're tossing around different ideas, and I think the issue that all of us need to strengthen is the inyan of emunah. It's something that that touches literally all parts of our lives, and I'd like to, you know, tonight's learning that's been going around on messaging say that this should be l'zechus a refuah shlema for Shmuel Kamenetsky. The Hebrew name is Shmuel ben Itta Etel. There's more short sheets in the front here. There you go. Okay. So the rule is, whenever you want to understand the concept of emuna, how would you translate belief? Right? So I want to find out, what's the word belief? The definition is cognitive content which is held as true. Cognitive content that I hold to be true. Right? That's our working definition of emunah. But when you want to understand from a Torah perspective, whenever a word appears the first time in the Chumash, you go to that, that's the source, that's the root of it. And from there, you'll be able to pull and understand how it applies everywhere else. So the first source you have is the first time the word emunah appears. Same in the context of Hemim Bahashem, Yachshuvah Lo Tzedakah, who's this talking about? Can guess? This is with Avraham. Avraham Avinu is the first time the word emunah appears. And really, when we see from that, the root of all of our emunah comes from Avraham. We just had Pesach, right? Pesach is the source of all of our emunah, of our national status, our religious identity. And Pesach is corresponding to Avraham. And it says that all the emunah that we have comes from Avraham, and he created something new with that. So the word emunah comes from the source of Aleph, Mem, Nun, right? And in Hebrew, whenever you have a three-letter shorsh and the nun is the last letter, right, in like the word aleph mem nun, so that last nun intensifies it, right? Shein is a tooth. Shinun is sharp, a sharp biting tooth. There's many, many examples throughout this. So the Rav Moshe Wolfson pointed out, when you have the word emunah, aleph mem, and then the nun comes to highlight the two letters that came before that, aim, the mother. Speaking of Jewish women, the emunah comes from the mommy, because the mommy decides whether the child's going to be Jewish or not. All of our emunah comes from that. It's something that is inherent. It's an instinctual knowledge that comes from them. Rav Shimshon Hirsch has actually a few ideas. He explains that the word it comes from the word uman, and uman is like a craftsman. When you're making something, you know, you're playing. Remember in camp when you had the pottery wheel, right? And it goes around, right? You're making something. So to form something, amen, like emunah, comes from the word of a craftsman, but it also comes from the word an omen. An uman. An uman's a craftsman. An omen is like an educator. Like you talk about when the pasuk in, where is it? It's in the Megillas Esther, that Mordechai raised, the lashon of emunah, he raised Esther. It's an idea of something that we work on. The emunah is not something static. It's something that we work on. We strive to increase. There is a basic set level that we have. You know, emunah pshuta is not something that was like, you know, only for people who are simpletons. Someone who just like, you know, wants to do away with all types of knowledge or thought or anything. Just, you know, emunah pshuta is a very deep idea. And when we talk about having emunah, it means Hashem's. Yeah, I thought this one got locked in. So look on the source number two for a minute. This is discussing the birth of Yaakov's children. Vatar od, she gave birth again, referring to Leah. Vatelid bain, she gave birth to a son. Vatomer ata, now hapam yilaveh ishi elai, my husband will become attached, literally like malava will accompany me. Eli, ki yiladi lo shloshavanim, I've given him now three sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Alkei and karar shmo Levi. So Levi is the child who's born, who represents an attachment between a husband and a wife. And as we know from Shir Shirim and many places throughout Tanakh and Chazal, that the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people is compared to a chasan and kala, a husband and a wife. So here, Levi is the one who represents the union between the husband and the wife, the union between Hashem and the Jewish people, between that loyalty. And that's why it's no surprise that the only one of the Shvatim that didn't rebel at the golden calf, the Chet HaEgel, was Levi. Levi was so confident. Levi was the one Shevet that had that clear, pure emunah that understood it can't be HaKadosh Baruch Hu who takes out Mitzrayim, do all the makos, do a whole Kriyas Yamsuf, gives the Torah, and then Moshe would disappear. And it doesn't make any sense. So the one that had that emunah, and you see from the whole source of it, that we're always going back to the beginning. Now let me ask you a question. Is there a mitzvah to have emunah? If you're counting up the 613 mitzvos, no. Why not? There's no mitzvah. So to believe in God is no mitzvah.
That's a different story.
But what's emunah then?
I don't know. Emunah is really believing God. You can believe in God and not have emunah. You don't think so?
Explain to me what you mean. How can you believe in God and not have emunah? Mm-hmm. We're friends. I can go back and forth.
Okay. I'm trying to give you an answer. You could. A person can be very sick and not have faith that they're going to any emunah that they're going to get better, but yet they daven every day and they believe in God.
So does emunah mean things work out the way I want them to?
Or maybe it believes, you know, why should I even bother davening? Because it's very complicated. I don't think this is a simple thing you're asking.
I'm not asking a simple thing. And what I'm actually asking, how's the machlokas rishonim? So whatever way you say, you're good.
It's a very complicated question.
So let's talk it out for a second. I'll show you, I'll do one more source and we'll kind of expand upon it. This is coming up, Shavuot's topic, the Seres HaDibros. Hashem introduced Vaidaber, Elohim. It's called Dvarim Ha'ili Mor. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God. Asher Hotzi Sicho. I took you out. My Eretz Mitzrayim. My Beis Avodim. On this pasuk, the machlokus between the Rambam, who says this is the source for the mitzvah to believe in Hashem. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I am your God. You should believe in me. To know me. To understand me. Now the question that they ask on the Rambam, and he was not bothered by this question, but this is what they say. Where's the commandment? There's no tzivui here. All there is a statement. I am Hashem who took you out. Nevertheless, the Rambam beyond the scope for tonight, but the Rambam learns this is the source of the mitzvah to believe in Hashem. We have a commandment to believe in God.
But how does he do that? I think that's the question, because clearly the words doesn't say that.
Correct. That's a good question. And maybe
you read almost then, you know, I do the dash and I'm learning that every time I do something, yeah, it's like another person had a different interpretation and another person has, until you get to that answer, it takes you like three dapim or something.
I am planning on addressing that question, but not tonight. But how the Rambam understands this as the source of the mitzvah, it's a valid question, it's an important question. But I just want to just like kind of lay the groundwork. The Ramban argues and says, no, there is not a mitzvah per se of having emunah in Hashem. It's the foundation for all mitzvos. How could I come and give commandments before I believe in a commander? Says the Ramban, imagine a king. They want to import, they need a good politician, they need someone to come run the country. So the king says, well, first you have to accept me as your king. Once you accept me as your king, then you can start following what I command you to do. So the Ramban argues and says, no, it's not one of the 613, it's the root of everything. Everything that we do, all the 613 mitzvahs that we do, tzedakah and kashrus and Shabbos, that's all based upon an emunah, which is the basis. Because you don't have an emunah, then why am I keeping Shabbos? Why am I keeping mitzvahs if I don't believe in the mitzaveh, one who gave me the command in the first place? So that's the major machlokas over here between the Rambam and the Ramban. Let me show you a few more things on this for a second.
The
Rambam, Maimonides, said that it is a mitzvah, and he learns out from
the
Ramban says, no, it's not a mitzvah. It's almost circular reasoning. How could I command you to believe in me? Who are you in the first place? I should believe in you. What do you mean? I just command you. So it becomes a circular reasoning. So the Ramban says, no, it's the root behind every mitzvah, all 613 mitzvahs.
Ramban,
Nachman is with a nun.
And what does Rambam say?
Rambam says that it is a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah to believe in God, right? So learn about him to understand to the best of our... To the best of our abilities, but again, I want to explain what it means to have emunah pshuta, to believe in Hashem. It doesn't mean we shut down and we turn off like our be ignorant or simple minded or be sheltered like that. We don't shut down or anything like that. Emunah pshuta, someone explained like this, that it's so pashut, it's so simple, it's so obvious that I believe in God. Meaning there's things that we. It's a cute story, but it's probably worthwhile to tell. There was an argument between two big tzaddikim. And one, they're like, they were arguing. So one says, don't start up with me. I just want you to know something. On Sukkot, I see the seven Ushpizin. In my Sukkot, I see Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. I see them. So you don't understand what level I'm at. Don't start up with me. So it was the Kotzker Rebbe, and he answered back to him, don't start up with me. I believe that the Ushpizin are there. That's a higher level than you're seeing. You can prove something to me. That's not called a muna. I don't have a muna. This is a shtender, and this is a pushka, and this is a table, and shit. That's not called a muna. So what does a muna really mean? A muna is not something that has to be taught. A muna is something that's inside of us. From the fact that we have the zechus to be the children of Avraham Avinu, he put inside of us an instinct that it works with us. I'll give you it sounds like an extreme example, but I saw this in the statement from Ramosha Wolfson. Imagine the following scene. A person's walking down the street, and he sees, you know, someone who's homeless. Not like a crazy drug dealer. Just a person, unfortunately, bad, you know, bad string of events in their life. They're hungry. So he says, you know what? I'm a total apikorsis. I don't believe in God. But I have compassion upon a person. I see a human being who's suffering. So I take out, I give him a sandwich. I give him $5. I give him something. And now I give him. Does that person get a mitzvah for giving them food or money? Mm-hmm. You think, yeah?
Yeah.
Anyone agree or disagree?
Depends
what
you're
thinking. Where do I hear? Wah,
wah?
It's a machlokes.
Is it a mitzvah?
No. It's actually, don't get a mitzvah.
It's a chesed.
It's a chesed, but it's a human instinct. This person just happened to have a compassionate instinct inside of them. They didn't do this because God commanded you to give tzedakah. So they did a good deed, nice. They will get reward only in this world. They will get rewarded for that, the kindness, because at the end of the day, someone benefited from them. From their kindness, somebody benefited from them. You know, but if we would go a little bit deeper, we'd realize it was just coming from a place of a compassion that they had for them. But somebody else, the next person who doesn't have a compassionate instinct, is not going to do that for them. So they were just acting according to their own natural character traits. They weren't really doing it because I have a commandment per se. That's where it becomes, when we understand why are we doing the mitzvos? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one who gives us. Look on the next source. I'll turn over to this is from the Sefer for Moshe Wolfson. Already in the account of creation, there's a hint the world was not yet complete. There was a creature missing. This hint appears immediately after the account of creation, when the Torah backtracks and begins the story from the formation of man again, this time in greater detail. Introducing the second narrative, the Torah begins, right? These are the works of heaven and earth. Bihi baram. Right? Elam told the Shemayim Varetz. Bihi baram. When they were created, on that day Hashem created heaven and earth. The Medrash notes that the word Bihi baram has the same letters Be'avraham. With Avraham, to teach us the world was created for the sake of Avraham. Now it's actually interesting. The way it's written in the Torah, it's with a small hey. It's a hey is in there, but it's written small. It's like a hint to the fact that Avram had his name changed to Avraham. Right? So it's a small hey. But that the world was created for Avraham Avinu. There's a deeper meaning to the illusion of Avraham Avinu immediately following the conclusion of the narrative of creation. The Torah is sending us a hint. You think that all species have been come into being during the first 6 days of creation? There's one more species yet to come. Behi Baram, Avraham Avinu, the Jewish species is missing. Klal Yisrael is a different Bria. You can't prove this in a laboratory. Every human being, the DNA is the same. It's a spiritual difference. Avraham Avinu created, and really Hashem wanted this to be for the whole world. The Ramchal explains this in great length how really the plan was that everybody should serve him. He tried, didn't work out in Gan Eden, so he waited 10 generations, tried again, wipes out the whole world with Noah, starts again, everybody should be serving him, that failed, and then he says it's not going to be the whole world anymore, it's going to be one particular person and the descendants, and not even every single one of his descendants. There's going to be, yes, Yitzchak and not a Yishmael. Yes, a Yaakov and not an Esav. But Avraham Avinu gave us a spiritual DNA, and it's a brand new Bria. And that's what it's talking about, that. And therefore, that's where Emuna comes from. Emuna is something that's instinctive, just like every creation has instincts. Remember that book, little like the Charlotte's Web, right? That was a fun book. Spiders know how to spin a web. They don't have to take a class, like on, you know, web design, right? No pun. A beaver can make a dam. A bird knows how to fly. A baby, nobody teaches a baby how to nurse. That instinct, that sucking instinct is just something natural. It's how they're created. Nobody teaches a Jew how to have emunah. It's who we are. Throughout our history, there's no other way to explain our existence. It's supernatural. The fact that people who totally unconnected stories, terrible stories, but powerful stories from World War II about Jews who were Moser Nefesh, Jews who had no connection whatsoever to anything Jewish whatsoever. When push came to shove, they gave up their lives for it. Because that amuna kicks in, a certain point person feels I'm doing something that would separate me from who I really am, from the source of my origin, from the source of my neshama. That's when the amuna is there, and it comes from Avram Avinu. And watch this. There's a beautiful medrash that we can use to prove the point that Avram, technically speaking, was a separate creation unto himself. I'll read from the beginning. Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha. Right? The beginning of... I'm sorry, this is source 5 on the sheets. This is the beginning when Avram is being told that you're going to form leave your homeland. Maksiv l'mala min ha'inyan. What's written right above this, the previous... end of Parshas Noach, before we get to Parshas Lech Lecha, V'yomas Terech b'Charan. Right? His father, Terech, died in the land of Charan. Omer Rebbe Yitzchak, im le'inyin ha'cheshbon, ad achshav mis'akish, lo od shishim v'chameish shanim. She really has another 65 years before Terech died. Ela b'techila ata dorish ha'reshoyim k'ruim meisim b'chayehem, an idea that sinners are considered to be not alive, even though they have a biological pulse. Visha Avram Avinu mefachid. Avram Avinu was afraid. The Omer Eitze, if I leave, the you mechalin bo shem shemayim. It's going to be a tremendous chil Hashem. I have an elderly father, and I'm just going to leave him? I'm going to leave my father. What are people going to say about me? What a tremendous chil Hashem. Where's your kibbut avayim? The Omer, what people say about me? He niach avi v'holach lo le'ez ziknoso? He had an elderly parent, and Avram Avinu, for selfish reasons, goes and leaves him behind. So you see what's highlighted? Omer Lech HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem says to Avram, Lech. Well, Lecho, I'm sorry, I read the wrong. Omer Lech HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Lecho, to you, Ani Potercha Mikibud Aveim. I'm exempting you from the mitzvah of Kibud Aveim, Ve'ini Poter La'achar Mikibud Aveim. But no one else will be exempted from that. The only way you can be exempted from Kibud Aveim is if you don't have a father. Avram Avinu was a brand new species. The Kuzari develops this theme at length where he talks about every single object in this world falls into one of four categories. The lowest level is domain, something that's inanimate. A rock, a chair, a sefer, it's inanimate. A high level of that is tzomeach, the vegetable kingdom. Plants, things that grow, flowers, trees, etc. Domain, tzomeach. Above that's chaya, the animal kingdom. Right? Animals are on a higher up than that. And above that is the medaber. The people who speak, right? That's we talk about the uniqueness of human beings. They have a ruach memala, speaking spirit. The Kuzari says even a fifth one called the Yisrael. That's even a higher madrega than that. So whereas we have an emuna because it's a different type of species, it's a different breed. The Klal Yisrael is spiritually different than everybody else. This is not that's what the Am HaNivchar. So I'll show you how the translation of it. On the next page of that, but if you see how the Holy One, blessed be He, says that I exempt you from honoring your father and mother, but I don't exempt anyone else from honoring their father. So in a nutshell, we see that a Yid, a Jew, is a different species with their own set of instinctive knowledge. Just like every species, the beaver, the spider, the birds, every species has its own instincts. Klal Yisrael has an instinctive emuna. So I saw a beautiful, it's cute. It's a cute little story. Look at the last part. How does one quit Judaism? Right. So this is a real good. Rabbi Aaron Mas is a Baal Tshuva. He's a rabbi, I think, in Sydney, Australia. So it's Rabbi Moss. This is a great question. You can see this online. Although I was raised in a traditional home, was brist in bar mitzvah, sorry about the spellings, I never had any faith or religious belief. I'm now age 34 and describe myself as an atheist. I have no wish to be buried in a Jewish cemetery, and my will make that clear. And I've married a non-Jew in a civil ceremony. My question is, can I consider myself officially non-Jewish by affecting opting out, or I need some sort of form or dispensation to be officially no longer Jewish? Many thanks for your help in what's perhaps an unusual question. Best wishes, Edward. How do you answer a question like this? What's Rabbi Ross going to answer to Edward? So I win. This is like the best answer I've ever seen. I'd like to help you. I feel there's nothing I can do. According to your question, you've done everything possible to negate your Jewishness. In practice, you don't keep Jewish tradition. In belief, you're an atheist. In family life, you've married a non-Jew and thus won't have Jewish children. And even in death, you're determined not to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. One would think that all this would be enough to confirm your un-Jewishness. But no. For some reason, you're still unsatisfied. You still feel Jewish. So much so, you feel you need official dispensation. And so, being an atheist, who do you turn to solve the problem? A doctor, a psychiatrist, the civil society? No. You turn to a rabbi. I'm reminded of a child who ran away from home, but ended up just going around and around the block because his parents told him never to cross the road by himself. I'm sorry, Edward. There's nothing more you can do. You're as Jewish as Moses, Ariel Sharon, and the chief rabbi of Wales. In fact, it seems being Jewish is the most dominant factor of your personality. It's even influencing the place you want to be buried. Why would an atheist care where they're buried? Edward, Jewishness is not a belief, a feeling, a conviction, or lifestyle. It's a state of being. That's what we're talking. Emuna is a state of being. We could celebrate it or fight it against it, but it'll always be there, so why not celebrate it? Emuna is a state of being. Emuna means I'm living my whole life with the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Sometimes I need to remind myself of that. Sometimes I need to, but I don't need to create anything new. I don't need to teach this. I need to remind myself of those truths that are self-evident, that we have Emuna. This is who we are. So this is more of an introduction class tonight just to talk about what the idea of Emuna is. But I want to like really go deep into the subject. I think it's something that's very, very important and something that all of us, all sections of the community, all ages in the community, we need to strengthen our Emuna. We need to talk to our kids about Emuna. We need to talk to ourselves about Emuna. The Rabbonim need to speak more about Emuna. Rabbi Willig was at Frisch a week or two ago, and he said this exactly. The most important subject matter to teach is Emuna. Akamora, Nach, Chumash, Emuna. We have to talk to the kids, the Talmidim. We have to talk to ourselves about Emuna. So again, a quick recap what we talked about. We started off, we're going to do that. My plan next time is to talk more about that argument, the Ramban in the Rambam, as to whether or not it's an official one of the 613 or not. But what do we see? We saw the first time that the word is mentioned in the Torah is by Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu is the source for us, for Judaism, and it's a source for our soul composition that has that instinctive Emuna in it. Levi was the Shevet that was able to make peace between a husband and wife, which means that they're the ones who had a connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Klal Yisrael. And we saw that in the Aseret HaDibros, upcoming in Shavuos, when we had that first of the commandments, even though it's not mentioned the actual form of a command, according to many Rishonim, that is the requirement to believe in Hashem. And we're really going to go is the Ramban, where the Ramban says it doesn't make sense. It's like mental gymnastics. How can you tell me you have a command? I have to know who the commander is before I can accept his commandments. So that'll be our journey next week, next month, wherever it is. We meet again. And we'll continue understanding who is this commander who is giving us all of his commandments. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And again, the learning should be Zechus Refuah Shlema for Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shmuel Ben Ita, Etel B'Soch Shar Chol Yisrael.